Good morning and welcome to TMCnet's Technology Podcast. Today is Friday, May 20th. I'm Michelle Pascarello, Online Channels Editor, filling in for Rich Tarani. I'm here with Al Breedenberg. Al, say hello.
Hello, folks.
And Bob Liu.
Hello.
All right. We're not here. Rich isn't here today because he just had another baby girl, so we'd like to wish him all a congratulations to him and his wife.
Yeah.
He said he'd be busy changing diapers today.
So I'm sure he's having lots of fun today. All right, so let's just jump right into this, the news this week. Al, I know you have some news on the FCC's VoIP action. You want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, well, this was the big news this week in the VoIP industry. Yesterday, the FCC had an open meeting and came out with an order requiring interconnected VoIP providers to provide E911 service or enhanced 911 service. So this is, I think that everybody knew something like this was going to happen because there's been trouble and bad news and lawsuits about provision of E911 by VoIP providers. So this was somewhat expected, although doesn't seem like good news to everybody from what we hear.
Well, they're giving companies, is it 120 days to implement E911 services?
Yeah, 120 days, I believe, from yesterday. And so what they have to do is they have to provide, here's what the order said from the FCC. Interconnected VoIP providers must deliver all 911 calls to the customer's local emergency operator, and that this has to be a standard, not an optional feature of the service. This is applying to interconnected VoIP providers, which really means providers who can originate and terminate calls on the PSTN network.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think this means for smaller VoIP companies that have this small time frame to implement these services?
Well, this would probably be something that Rich Tarani could comment on a lot more intelligently than I can. But one of the questions is do the smaller companies have the resources, the wherewithal, and the clout to be able to hammer out the deals that need to be hammered out in order for them to be able to provide this kind of service.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the FCC's order does say this. It says the incumbent LECs are required to provide access to their E911 networks to any requesting telecommunications carrier. So it sounds to me as if the local incumbent carriers are not allowed to prevent anyone from getting access to E911, but I also assume that that they're allowed to charge money for that.
Right. Well, I'm sure today a lot more statements are going to be released regarding this whole E911 issue.
Yeah, I think a lot of people in the industry fear that this is going to make it harder for smaller companies and startups. And as you know, a lot of times the technological improvements and innovation sometimes come from the small startup. And so I think, a lot of people are concerned whether this is going to hamper innovation in the VoIP space.
Right. Well, I guess there's two different views because you have the consumer view and then you have the business view on the, mm-hmm. And we here at TMCnet are obviously advocates for the, the VoIP companies, especially the smaller VoIP companies. And on their side, we're rooting for them, hoping, that this ruling won't impede their business too much. But, those of us that are also consumers, we know that having emergency services are, essential, especially, considering a lot of the lawsuits that are going on. But, there's a lot of arguments going on, I think, on all sides. So I'm really interested to see what's going to be happen mm-hmm. with this, especially today. I'm sure a lot more news is going to be pouring in. So people should be watching TMCnet today.
Yeah, and if I could just throw in my two cents.
Please, yeah.
I think actually, people who see this as a detriment, to the small companies are being a little short-sighted because what happened here is the FCC in a way, created you know, a new market opportunity for companies to develop innovative solutions in order to address these compliant issues.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you saw the same thing happen a few years ago, you know, in the medical industry when the HIPAA laws were introduced to protect, patient privacy. And, you know, that drummed up a huge amount of business, by the systems integrators, you know, in order to, bring computer systems and platforms into HIPAA compliance. So, is the glass half empty or half full, you know?
Sure. Yeah, no, that's a good point. It's difficult to argue that doing things to help the consumer is bad, because we've experienced time and time again that when industry keeps in mind the benefits and the well-being of the consumer, that ultimately everybody benefits.
Yeah.
Right. Well, moving on. Well, we know that there's some speech news going on, especially since TMC is prepping for Speech World, which is actually going to be next week. And
yes, it'll be next week in Dallas, Texas.
That's right. Yeah. Actually, I have some channel news, believe it or not, from one of our speech applications channel sponsor, Tuvox. They made an announcement this week on the availability of the Tuvox Speech Technology Protection Plan. This plan is it's going to provide guaranteed investment protection for companies that have selected or will select ScanSoft, Nuance, or any of the other platform technologies for as long as they're available on the market. Tuvox stated that they'll migrate the customer's enterprise speech applications from existing speech recognition and or voice platform to any other Tuvox certified platform at no additional charge, and it's under the Tuvox's standard maintenance agreement. The bonus with this is customers can change at any time and as many times as they wish. And I guess this is also to give clients peace of mind for the investment protection, because a lot of the speech platform technologies, you know, are consolidating. So, it's all for the emergence of the voice automation market. So, you know, we're going to be watching Tuvox, and if you want to visit them, you can go to tmcnet.com/channels and check out speech applications and give them a nod there.
Great.
So.
And you also said that you had some... some other news from another channel sponsor. Was it XL?
XL Switching, that's right.
Yeah, so talk about that then.
Here's that. Actually, I'd like to, as the online channels editor, give a congratulations to XL Switching, because they are the VoIP Gateway's channel sponsor. They were actually just named one of the best places to work in Massachusetts, and that's per the Boston Business Journal. So congratulations to XL Switching. So I was actually reading about it. I was kind of curious, how does one become one of the best companies to work for, especially in Massachusetts? But I guess they were evaluated on the results of more than 18,000 employee satisfaction surveys. The employees had to answer questionnaires, factors like pride in the company, company encouragement, support and recognition of achievement, relationships with coworkers, supervisors. The results were analyzed and scored by... assigning points to each question. So I guess each question that they answered had a numeric mm-hmm. value. So we'd like to say congratulations to Excel Switching.
What is the name of their channel?
VoIP Gateways.
VoIP Gateways.
Yes. Okay. So we'll be posting that news announcement today on their channel as well. So who knows? Maybe TMCNet will get an award as such, maybe in Connecticut. Who knows?
Well, we certainly deserve it.
I think so. So, moving on, we have some interesting news in regards to Yahoo Messenger with PC-to-PC voice calling. So, is it VoIP or is it PC-to-PC calling? That is the argument for today.
Well, I think that, throwing everything into the VoIP category is a bit of a misnomer, because, really, VoIP is not necessarily IP telephony. I think the promise that VoIP, the VoIP providers, that the value proposition that they deliver is really, an apples to apples comparison of, IP telephony to PSTN. And this has nothing to do with the Yahoo announcement.
You mean in saying that that the Yahoo announcement doesn't really
isn't about it could be construed as being about voice over internet protocol,
mm-hmm.
but it's certainly nothing to do with internet telephony.
Well, it doesn't. You know, they seem to emphasize in their announcement. They seem to emphasize PC to PC calling. They don't really even talk in their announcement earlier this week about being able to connect to the PSTN. Although our CTO here, Tom Keating, discovered that that Yahoo Messenger actually does have the capability to connect to the PSTN.
Well, and also Tom Keating also mentioned in his blog that this was a misinformation probably in the press release, because I'm actually checking out his blog right now. He was asking, you know, do we see the PC to PSTN calling? And he said, no, it only talks about PC to PC buddy-to-buddy voice chat. Mm-hmm. So he wants to know why, you know, what's going on with the promotion of this.
Yeah, well, you know, one thing that occurred to me is that that for a lot of these kinds of services and providers are including the ability to talk to other people over your computer, using the internet as the carrier channel for whatever signals you're having to go back and forth. But you know, thinking about yesterday about the FCC's FCC's announcement, this is sort of taking a lateral step into that story. Is it possible that that some of these other providers, like Yahoo, for example, might not really care to make it very clear that they can connect to the PSTN network? Because if they do, is it possible that some of the regulation might start to apply to them? For example, would Yahoo be required to provide E911 access if they're including regular call termination as a part of their service?
Sure. Well, I always viewed these applications as just like strictly chat mechanisms. I mean, I know I could tell you, gosh, this must have been my college days when I had AOL Instant Messenger on dial-up. They had a voice chat mechanism, and I was working on my little IBM ThinkPad at the time. And I was talking to somebody in Florida, a friend of mine, through the instant messenger using our microphones. I mean, back then it sounded really terrible, but, you know, I don't think that's necessarily considered, you know, voice over internet. I mean, you're on the internet, but it's still just chat, I think, just taken to the next level. You know, it would be kind of interesting to see if these regulations are going to start applying to these, you know, free chat programs that are just kind of offered, you know, for people to kind of connect and meet and find chat buddies.
Yeah. Well, here's another thing to think about, too, is that that trying to determine whether it's really VoIP or whether it's not VoIP, you know, could be of interest to those of us who are in the industry. But from the consumer's point of view, from the user's point of view, do they really care whether it's VoIP or not?
Right.
And I think that I wonder to what extent are people really going to use the word VoIP very much, or the fact that their voice is being carried over internet protocol ultimately might not really matter to them that much. Well, all they really care about is that they can talk to people over their computer.
Exactly. You know, and VoIP is just starting to become a household term. It's not so much, predominantly consumer as it is for businesses so far. But, you know, it is starting to turn up in the home. So we'll see, you know, what's going to happen with VoIP.
Yes.
All right. So, Bob Liu.
Yes.
You want to tell me a little bit what's going on in the CRM space?
Oh, it's been a busy week.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. Very newsworthy. Starting with, I guess, the largest, ERP provider, that is SAP out of Germany, holding their annual Sapphire conference. This took place in Boston, in which they paraded, a number of new strategic alliances with the biggest players in the industry, people like Cisco, and to support the integration of the SAP platform, you know, on their respective environments. So they you know, obviously, you know, rolled out the newest iteration of my SAP, you know, their portal, but I guess people, the main source of disappointment was in the area of hosted CRM. SAP had been expected to unveil a hosted CRM offering, and instead management more or less hinted at announcements coming down later this year, and tried to actually downplay the market opportunity. And that, you know, I think provides a great contrast to Salesforce.
What do you mean downplay the market opportunity? You mean saying that it's not that really an important area for us to get into?
Because the large amount of enterprise class customers that SAP has in its customer base. I mean, most of SAP's customer base is probably, you know, 1,000 seats or higher, you know, in their install base.
So the argument would be that in a large organization, a hosted CRM doesn't really make much sense.
Yes, exactly. And that, you know, that is to SAP's strength, is, you know, playing upon, you know, not just the sales automation features that it can provide in its system, but also how that can, you know, be integrated into financial analysis or, you know, accounts payable and other parts of you know, the enterprise functions, so HR, et cetera. But you know, again, that's a stark contrast to Salesforce.com, which opened its books up earlier this week, and just showed people the, you know, what advantages and the growth, you know, prospects of the hosted CRM market. You know, Salesforce booked 40,000 new paying subscribers over the last 3 months during the winter, and that, you know, just blew away even the most upbeat, most optimistic forecast that you know, some people were projecting.
Yeah. Now, is it correct? Am I correct in understanding that Salesforce.com's customers tend to be small and medium enterprises?
Absolutely. And you know, they are trying to branch into, you know, the larger enterprise plays, and if you talk to them nowadays, you know, they don't name, you know, specific customers by name, but they do, you know, point out that the customer base is moving towards the higher priced, larger enterprise additions, you know, that of the software as a service that it provides. And in addition, you know, next week Salesforce is going to be hosting customers, partners, the media, financial community, and next week in New York.
I heard you say you were going to be there.
Yes.
Ah.
So
I'm hoping to attend too.
Yeah. So you know, to just explain their next level product offerings and how they're hoping to capture more of that enterprise space. So,
nice. Well,
look for those reports.
Yeah, we'll be expecting you to file stories, and we hope you're going to take your digital camera with you.
Oh yeah, sure. I forgot about the camera, but I can do that.
Well, we'll look forward to that news definitely for next week. So, do we have any fun news this week? I want to say I actually found some interesting fun news.
And you really don't think this is fun, huh?
Well, that, of course. I said last week that VoIP and CRM are fun. And Rich decided to argue with me, saying that my science fair was a lot more fun than that.
Oh well, I would have to agree with that.
Yeah, but maybe. But you know what? I just on a, you know, since we're, you know, in the hype now with episode 3, Return, you know, Revenge of the Sith coming out.
Mm.
You know, apparently 2 copies were already leaked on the internet for download. So I've been watching that news because you know, there's always going to be somebody that's going to find it, that's going to filter it, that's going to post it, and people are going to download it. So check out my blog, which is the actual WiMAX blog. So cause not only do I do WiMAX, but I also do, you know, Star Wars, gadgets.
Podcasting.
iPods. Mm-hmm. You name it, I do it.
Wow.
All right.
And, you know, not so much fun news, but the Hurricane Adrian has hit El Salvador.
Yeah, why is there a hurricane at this time of year?
Yeah, it seems early. Seems kind of early in the season,
yeah.
Doesn't it? Well, I think that they are predicting a more active than usual hurricane season this year.
Oh, dear.
Not sure why. You know, it could be, it could have something to do with El Nino or one of those phenomena.
I hope any of our listeners can't hear the noise that's going on in the ceiling here, because it sounds like we have a storm brewing right in our office. So
yeah, I think they're working on the roof again.
So.
The monthly roofing crew is at it.
Yes. Well, I guess that concludes our podcast for this week. Thanks, Bob. Thanks, Al, for tuning in.
Yes.
Helping us out here. And thanks to our listeners for tuning in. Hopefully we'll have Rich back with us next week. You know, and be sure to check out TMCnet.com for Speech World news, and we'll be staying up to date on all the speech news that's going to be released next week. You know, and stay tuned today for more FCC news, any CRM news, and et cetera, et cetera. So everybody have a great week.
All right, thanks, Michelle.
Yes, thanks, Michelle.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.